Hello, I'm Trevor Von Eden, co-creator of Black Lightning, DC Comics' first black superhero, and you're listening to Shortbox Showcase. Enjoy.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Professor Allen.
And I'm Em, and you're listening to the Shortbox Showcase.
Episode 63, your friendly neighborhood podcast.
In this one, we're going to be talking about everybody's favorite web-slinger and star of screen and video game screen.
And former video games.
So the Spider-Man has been on our minds for a while now. And then with the cancellation of our favorite mobile game, we thought we'd take some time to talk about him. But first, some feedback.
And we start with an email from Rob Myers of the Tim Drake podcast, Everyone Loves the Drake. He is writing in about episode 60, our anniversary episode from last summer. And the fact that that was more than 8 months ago, well, there's kind of a story behind that.
Hello, Professor Allen and M. As I say on the radio, first time caller, long time listener. That is something that I've told myself to do better about, writing into shows that I listen to. First off, moo. I was flattered that you allowed me to participate in your audio drama, and it turned out wonderfully. Thank you for the kind words about my drama. Yours was fantastic as well. It was so cool hearing everyone else have just as much fun as I did. You turned this cute Super Son story into an even cuter audio story.
It was hilarious writing to a guy that had produced a pretty amazing audio drama to say, can you give me 7 or 8 different moos? But like we said at the time, Rob was a good sport.
As evidenced by the fact that he continues, sorry for taking so long to write in. I love the show and all that you discuss. It is great to hear this wonderful podcast coming out of Ohio, and hopefully we'll bump into one another. Have a good day, Rob Myers.
It's important to note that that part of the email was dated August 8th, 2018, because...
Editor's note, February 28th, 2019. The top half of this email was written last year, shortly after the audio drama was released, and I never sent it. I even state in the opening how I need to do better about writing into shows, and I couldn't even do that in the email which I was drafting. Somehow it just ended up in my drafts, as I do too often, hitting the compose button instead of send. My work email has a different look, so I'm forever hitting the wrong button. When I checked out the draft folder, to my horror, this email was still sitting there. No! I must seem like such a jerk. I told you I was sending you email, and then you never even heard of it. If you thought it was odd, no, it's just Rob being a moron again. Please forgive me. I guess that's why Batman sits at his back computer all day and doesn't let Robin. Sincerely, Rob. P.S. This time I am hitting send.
And congratulations on hitting send! That was so awesome!
We always love hearing from people, regardless of when you meant to send it, what episode you're currently listening to, whatever.
I had a conversation with Shag a little while ago for the quarter bin, and he confessed to going through the notes feature on his phone and finding a document titled quarter bin. And inside it was the typing equivalent of chicken scratch. A few things he had typed or spoken into the voice to text that
he would
red lights and stop signs along the way.
He was absolutely going to remember what those comments mean and craft it into something sensible. But instead, it's like the notebooks of Nostradamus.
9 months later, when he found that, he had no idea what episode, what context, but he did say,
cipher.
I meant to send this to you.
So, hey, buddy.
So, Shag, Rob Myers, we appreciate you. Sometimes it is the thought that counts.
Next up, a feedbacker we've mentioned a few times, but this is the first time we'll actually be reading an email. It's new feedbacker Carla.
Oh my gosh, you guys gave me a shout out. Whee! Happy Monday. Okay, with that said, so glad to hear both you and Em back together on an episode once again. Smiley face. So, I'm not a Doctor Who fan, but I'm still enjoying listening to you both chat about the subject. I tried several years ago, but I just couldn't get into it. Same goes with Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Wow, those are bold admissions. Because those are areas of fandom that just aren't my thing, but we're all different.
Exactly.
That is an important, relatively geeky principle.
Yeah, that is our stance. No fandom shaming. None of this, how could you not have, what do you mean you don't? We have no time for that, because this is not a hate cast.
Thank you. Carla continues, about a week after I sent my first email back in December, Legends of Tomorrow caused my fangirl head to explode. This season, I was hoping for maybe Miss Zatanna to pop up during an episode, but then Constantine and Desmond locked eyes in New Orleans, and I was done, literally screaming at the TV. You know, there are times when people use the word literally to not mean literally.
I believe
Carla means literally to mean literally screaming at the TV.
Because sometimes that's what happens.
So good. So good. I don't want to accidentally spoil anything in the event you guys haven't had the chance to see those episodes. I say this because I may have done that to someone else without realizing it. Yikes! But so did not mean to. I was just really excited. I cannot wait for the show to return April 1st. I've been keeping busy with as much Constantine-related material as I can get a hold of. Yay, Ollies!
Absolutely yay, Ollies.
Since December, I found 3 of the 4 volumes of New 52 Constantine in the $2.99 to $3.99 range. Plus, I tracked down a copy of Smallville Chaos at another store. I enjoy Hoopla, but I really love just having the hard copy to read and keep forever.
Absolutely. So I have fully admitted that I am well off the CW train. Mm-hmm. Like it is gone on its merry way without me, and I have just stood on the station and waved my handkerchief. That particular aspect of my DC fandom, that ship has sailed, and I'm excited that the shows are still ongoing, but they're not my thing.
I don't know if you know this shocking revelation. But Mom gave up on Supergirl partway through this season. That is a bad sign for Supergirl, by the way.
That is a shocker.
We are still on Flash.
Yes.
That is the one show that she's keeping up with. I am managing to keep up with all the CW shows so far. Supergirl at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. But
most importantly, you're keeping up with Black Lightning, which is the only aspect of the CW that I'm keeping even like a third of an eye on.
It helps that it's disconnected, so you only have to keep track of 13 episodes a year instead of what could literally be 60 to 80 if you throw in all the other shows and
depending
22s and 13s. And
making sure that you hit the right halves of seasons before the crossovers, etc., etc.
That's a lot to keep hold of. As of this recording, one episode of this half season of Legends of Tomorrow is out, and Constantine is his old Constantine self.
Excellent.
The nice thing about Legends is that they are more or less standalone episodes. There is some arc, etc., of course, but I would highly recommend you maybe dip in, do the Constantine fan.
The Constantine skim.
The Constantine cut of Legends of Tomorrow. It's pretty good. And I would throw that in, like you said, keep Black Lightning on your potential agenda as
vaguely
well.
Vaguely on my radar. I will admit, I don't really keep up with it at all except through your commentary about Black Lightning. But anytime I do see it pop up on my Tumblr or, you know, ads popping up wherever, I'm always like, yes, keep going. Especially now, Luke Cage and all of the Netflix shows, all the Netflix Marvel Defenders verse is all canceled. And I am crushed by that. I'm like, it's not a competition. And it's not fair to pit shows against each other just because they are sort of similar concepts and they both have black male leads. But I am glad that Black Lightning is managing to soldier on.
True.
At least we get to keep one of them.
There are clear similarities between the shows. It's not crazy to say that. Mm-hmm. But I do get what you're saying.
And I enjoyed Luke Cage, but the 2/3 of season one, I think, that I watched of, mm-hmm. of Black Lightning, I really liked.
Yeah.
So I'm anytime that I hear news about it, I just sort of want to give like a little applause to like, yes, keep going, keep doing your thing. I'm not watching you, but only because I don't watch TV basically at all. But I'm always glad to hear news about where Black Lightning is going, things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that it keeps trucking on.
One nice thing about the Netflix shows being canceled is that they are now finite.
That is true.
And I know that I am 2 series behind. And if I delay, it's not going to be 3 or 4 or 5. And there was a stretch where that if you missed one or if you fell a couple months behind, you could be 3 series behind before you knew it. That's not going to happen. I've got Daredevil, and I believe I've got Jessica Jones. Is the one I'm missing? I think that is all that I have left.
And the nice thing for me personally, the one I cared most about is Daredevil. And same thing that you feel by having it be finite. I can be like, okay, I can take a week at some point and finish Daredevil. Because I got burned out halfway through season 2 and just never went back and finished it. But I can go back, I can rewatch the rest of season 2, I can watch season 3. It can be a finite, complete thing.
This is not a promise. You never promise anything on a podcast of what you're going to cover.
Especially when our, like, things that we touch on are so freewheeling.
I'm just going to say, from what I hear, Daredevil Season 3 might need a little Darkness to Light treatment. I mean, saying.
It's literally born again, so...
I think we kind of need to get to that.
Some DD content on the side feed.
Do want to shout out here that the one Netflix comic book related show that I am currently watching is I'm in the middle of episode 5 of Umbrella Academy.
Which I also hear is really good.
It is really good. I recently read the first trade, and it's not that exact story, at least not so far. Which is good.
Right.
There are enough similarities and enough clearly in the same world, the same characters.
Same source material, but not the same story.
So far. And I didn't need that. And it's really interesting. I'm enjoying it a lot.
I'm definitely going to get Umbrella Academy. And again, because it's sort of its own contained thing, mm-hmm. I'm more likely to actually watch it. And it looks super psychological in the good way. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that. I will also admit, the other reason that I haven't been watching any of the Netflix Marvel stuff or catching up on the DC TV stuff is I have DC Universe.
Oh.
I have the streaming app. I paid for the whole year up front. Thank you very much for that birthday present. And I am trying to get my money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know...
If it helps... I know that you've just made Shag very proud.
I know. Like, I know people have, like, mixed feelings about Titans. I really dug it. That alone was almost worth price of admission for at least a couple of months.
Where are you on Doom Patrol?
I am 2 episodes into Doom Patrol because, unfortunately, I have to wait a week for the episodes to actually come out. So I got a little bit behind. I think there's 4 episodes out now,
like
the 5th one might be coming out soon. So I've got a few episodes to catch up there on Doom Patrol, but that's one that it's good to. It's nice because the app itself is structured in such a way that you get a new episode each week, but because it's like Netflix, you sort of wait for a couple of them to stack up and watch 2 or 3 at a time, 2 or 3 at a time, 2 or 3 at a time. But there isn't the same commitment of here's 13 episodes go.
I'm kind of looking forward to Swamp Thing.
I'm really looking forward to Swamp Thing. Okay, guys, I know everyone was super stoked for Doom Patrol, which is cool, and I'm definitely enjoying it, but, like, Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing. That's why I bought the 1 year. And it turns out that they're going to be adding a lot more comics because I've been vaguely interested in some of their comic offerings, but it was pretty slim.
Right.
And then they recently announced that they were going to add, like, 10,000.
15,000, something like that.
Like,
to get it to almost Marvel Unlimited. scale, sort of at 3/4 or so of about that content, which is plenty.
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited about that. And because with DC Universe, it's able to do a similar thing that Netflix could do with Umbrella Academy, that with Gerard Way being involved in the comics and in the TV show, because Netflix doesn't have the same network requirements, they were able to make sure, like, sort of line up that there would be comics content for the show that was being produced. And you mentioned, why is there not an ongoing Captain Marvel? The movie just came out.
Where's the Black Lightning series?
We're almost on season three.
Where's the new Shazam comic? I mean, you know.
And with the big comic companies, it's hard to get those sorts of things
to line up,
timed out, because then you're working with a comic studio and a movie studio that have different time scales and different schedules.
But after however many years of that second Umbrella Academy trade, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, something like that, the show gets picked up and there is a current Umbrella Academy ongoing miniseries that will be collected as a trade.
Available for purchase in a
couple
of months.
And, you know, you can get that synergy almost easier on the smaller scale in a weird way than you can for the big two companies.
And now with DC having its own streaming service, it was a thing that sort of annoyed me, but I also really understood. It was really tailoring the comics that were available to the shows that were available.
Right.
And now that they're going to be doing more shows and then adding more comics, once they've sort of got that base user built in of people like myself who bought that subscription up front, and they're like, okay, well, we know how many subscribers we have. We know how much cash we have. We know how much this thing is making. We know how much we can invest in it. I'm really looking forward to see what their comics offerings are going to be like going forward. And it looks like they're going to be having a similar deal about 1 year delay, new issue availability, stuff like that, that we're pretty big fans of.
It could work. It could really work for us.
And not to say that, you know, this would be the death of paper copies and brick and mortar stores, but it was sort of an outlier that I was watching TV. It was kind of an outlier that we were buying, you know,
fresh off the stand, new comics.
So this summer we might be pulling back on our comic purchasing because we've got DC Universe Online. We've got Hoopla. Like, between those two, we might be pretty set on our comics.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out, definitely.
And of course, Constantine is on the streaming app. I'm just
throwing that out.
Throwing that out there.
Well, speaking of Constantine, we can go back to Carla's email.
Yes!
Carla did have a con question for us. On the current episode, you guys were feedback. Yeah, that is probably true.
Yep. Sounds like us.
About big conventions and how with popularity skyrocketing that they're not as affordable as they once were. I've been to 2 anime cons in Ohio, Colossal Con twice, and this past December went to my first generalized comic con called Steel City Con. That was fun. They have celebs and things, but there wasn't really anyone I was super interested to see, but oh, the shopping was so good. I was wondering about Wizard World. Have you, Professor Allen, or M, ever been to the one in Columbus? I was thinking about going back to Kalahari this year for Colossal Con, plus to see friends, but I have a huge itch for Wizard World either in Philly in June or Columbus in the fall, so I may change my mind. Really, it all depends on a certain guy who plays a British warlock demon hunter and if he'll be appearing at any of those. I've read a lot online about how high tickets are, and then you add in autographs or photo ops. But what's your guys' take on big cons? Have you been to Wizard World or anything of similar scale? Any tips? LOL, I love how you both said, we're both too old for Dragon Con.
Yeah, it's Dragon Con is... It's almost not that we're too old, like it is, but it's we are too introverted. Like, here's the thing. If you're a comics person on the internet, like, you're probably fairly introverted. But when you put the two of us on a scale that goes to, like, Michael Bailey, and then beyond that to, like, the Sutherlands, and beyond that to Shag, like, we really don't like people. Like, if you consider Michael as probably sort of the middle ground of our friend group, like, we are, like, way out in the weeds. Just anything that has a lot of people involved, we tend to be a little uncomfortable in those situations unless we're going specifically to meet people that we know and we like, that we want to hang out with. And of course, they are also expensive, which kind of itches with both of us that we are very thrifty people.
And to me, the Wizard World cons are just too pop culture.
Yeah.
Too much TV, too much movies, too much. I'm interested in the comic book stuff, not so much the actors, et cetera. That's not my jam. But if that's yours, awesome.
Yeah.
And if you are coming to our neck of the woods, Carla, it sounds like you're not that far.
Too far
maybe
away.
In the Ohio, Pennsylvania area. If you are swinging through Columbus sometime, let us know. We'd love to say hello to you.
And maybe take you out to our favorite local quarter bins.
Bingo.
I know some friends who've gone to the Wizard Worlds. They've really enjoyed them. They're really well-run cons. So if that is your thing, they're a solid option. I've wanted to go before, but again, they are very much focused, not just even around pop culture in general. Like, I really like panels.
Yeah.
So with Wizard World, it is very, very much a
celebrity meet and greet, autograph,
celebrity autograph, commissions, shopping sort of setup. So if that's what you're looking for, it's a very good option. So I think the other thing is that Wizard World is essentially a chain.
Right.
So I can't speak to the Columbus one. I get the feeling
it's probably pretty similar to the Philly
the exact
one
same
or
as the
to
Philly
the
one.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
I think the only difference that I could think of is I bet that the parking is cheaper. That's probably the only difference that you're going to run into.
And I would recommend this for you, Carla, to think about. And the timing of it might be tough if you're traveling. Ohio Con. Which you've been to.
Yep, the Anime Con at the end of January. It's a good one.
Carla closes with, anywho, the shout-out made my day. And I hope this long response to various points in her feedback makes her day again.
Yes!
Congrats to Em on the big news about the house. Hope you both are well. Take care and God bless. Carla, P.S. I may check out the new Justice League Dark, The Witching Hour. When the trade paperback comes out this spring, I was a little leery about Wonder Woman joining them, though, and then trying to figure out the status of John and Z's on again, off again thing. But of course, Carla does love those two. And when you said they smooch, so there you go. I may need to see what's up. A little while later, Carla wrote in again, responding to a Twitter that we retweeted from the account Constantine in the DCU. Did you guys see the stories from last week? First were the rumors of Warner Brothers possibly developing another Constantine series, and then it morphed into Matt Ryan being in talks to star. I don't know if it's true or not, but man, what a happy thought.
I have been pleasantly content with the animated movies that have been coming out recently, which have starred Matt Ryan, as they should.
I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but Constantine and Swamp Thing do have a long history.
Look,
I'm just saying we didn't want to mention it until now, but Carla, you brought it up.
This is 70% of why I'm excited for Swamp Thing, because I am like 85% sure it will involve either Zatanna or John, hopefully both. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Or the Spectre.
I know, it could...
It could be anyone, and it would all be good. Either Constantine getting his own show, which I would certainly love, or appearing in Swamp Thing, or maybe having Swamp Thing morph into a Justice League Dark incarnation. There are many options, and all of them are going to be on DC Universe. So...
Carla said she, of course, loved the NBC show and Legends, but I really want to see Matt Ryan take it to a darker and sexier place than he already has. There's no doubt he can do it if given the means. Just a quick thought, Carla.
Yes, 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 and yes.
And we heard from our old friend, Dion, in Honolulu.
M and Professor Allen. Great work on your February series.
Made you say it again.
Yeah, you did. I'm glad you all did a segment on Doctor Who audio dramas. Believe it or not, but the Big Finish 6th, 7th, and 8th Doctors are my favorite iterations of these characters. Wow. I absolutely believe that. I don't have much of a background with Doctor Who, and my initial exposure to this cultural icon began just before the 50th anniversary. My daughter showed some interest at that time in New Who, so I joined her in some binge-watching sessions. Not long after, she was off to other distractions, but I followed the character for a bit, mostly through the Who True Freaks podcast. I do believe that show has been on extended hiatus. Yep. What really caught my interest during my brief viewing period was the Night of the Doctor webisode.
Yes.
I liked that Doctor enough from my viewing to go and research his brief failed TV history and revival on Big Finish. Soon enough, I learned about the 6th and 7th Doctors and their continued adventures on Big Finish from the Irredeemable Shags episode of Who True Freaks. My first purchase was the Apocalypse Element with Colin Baker, and I learned to love it due to numerous playbacks because of all the funny accents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So well, we have a saying around here when we watch TV, we have to turn it up to British.
Yeah. Or if we've got a podcast app with a speed, maybe zip it down to 0.75.
Exactly.
So here I am, 4, maybe 5 years later, the owner of a handful of audio dramas with an appetite for more. Once again, really enjoying February.
Made you say it again.
Regards, Dion.
And I wanted to point out that Mark Adams, on a recent episode of Mark's Mess, referred to February as a series and said that he loved the name.
I'm not surprised.
Of course, Charlotte and Catherine strongly disagreed with their father.
I am not surprised about that either.
He then followed up with an email. I look forward to the podcast series for cool people who are too lazy to say what's up in September. And the summer month podcast series where you talk about Frank Herbert's books. Hashtag June for Dune. The talk on favorite companions continued at our dinner table, where Charlotte and Catherine had their views based solely on New Who. Catherine is now on her second rewatching of all the New Who on the BBC iPlayer, having Clara, Donna, and Amy as her faves, while Charlotte maintained that if you have Amy, you must include Rory.
She is correct.
My pick ended up being all men, with Jamie McCrimmon, Rory, and Turlough as my three. I also chose Captain Jack and Frobisher to prove that I'm cool. Yes, Mark. Sure.
Cool.
You're cool. Great episode, so keep them coming. But how long until we have to have the discussion on how to file our Doctor Who comics?
I know. Different publishers, different volumes.
Why would you open this can of worms and just leave it here on our doorstep?
Here's the thing. I don't envision us ever doing a Patreon. But if we did,
this would
Patreon exclusive episode would be an in-depth 3.5 hour long discussion with video examples of how to file your Doctor Who comics. I bet I could get my good friend Paul Cornell into that episode.
Oh, really?
Anyway, I don't know. Did I mention I've met him?
Oh, yeah,
interesting.
Really.
Strange.
You had dinner with him. How weird. I never would have noticed. Last episode, when we talked about the Doctor Who convention, Gallifrey 1, I disclosed a shocking secret about our buddy, the Irredeemable Shag, to which he replied, "Great episode, except that everything said about me is blatant lies. Hashtag former friends." So we have been in talk with his legal representation about my slander charges, and everything is going to be settled out of court. For anyone who was worried about our legal fees, we will not have to start a Kickstarter. We have been able to find an equitable solution.
And I think both speaking for both of us, we most deeply and humbly apologize for implying that Shag in any way was a nice or decent fellow.
Exactly.
David Ace Gutierrez referred to us and Shag and the Sutherlands as what a fun bunch of folks. As far as the episode went, he called it an instant classic. This odd bird loved it.
Yes.
And 100% agree with M about Shag.
Now, we are not in any way associated with the legal representation of Mr. Gutierrez. And this is not in any way, shape, or form an endorsement of comments
sentiments
that he has made. The Sutherlands also chimed in that they were a little behind, commenting on our Fave 5 episode, which they said they loved. The approach you took to discussing a few favorites in a lot of categories was great. We really enjoyed hearing so many Who opinions all at once. Well done. And then on the Galley 1 episode itself, we got this feedback from them. Dear M and Professor Allen, the two of you created an audio souvenir that I treasure. Oh gosh, I'm going to cry. This is fine. This is fine.
Pull it together.
Gotta keep it together. I am a professional. I'm a professional amateur. Shortbox Showcase number 62, Gallifrey 1 2019, was a delight to hear. You did a great job of describing the variety, atmosphere, and fun at the con. Anyone considering the con will have a great idea of what to expect. Anyone who's attended before or were there this time will enjoy hearing about the highlights. And anyone who was there hanging out with the two of you will have fond memories of those special days.
Aw, I'm not crying.
Keep it together.
You're crying.
Keep it together. It is nice to hear how you've made an extra effort to get out to cons and seize opportunities to meet and spend time with friends you've made through this wonderful podcasting and blogging community. We're very happy we've had the opportunity to share some of those conventions with you. And we'd definitely be up for another February in 2020.
Ruth made you say it.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Paul Hicks from the DC OCD podcast was disappointed. I was hoping for a good 20 minutes on the violence I tried to instigate.
I'd say succeeded at instigating, actually.
Also, Paul says, I'll have you know, I have been to Heroes Con.
Weird, yeah. We forgot to mention that Paul has been to Heroes Con, and also that Paul did in fact message you, Shag, the Sutherlands.
That we should all punch each other.
We should all punch each other, that he wanted some sort of weird podcaster fight club going down at the convention. And you were all happy enough to oblige.
Mike Zumo from the Man of Screen podcast said that he was sure that our gang got into a whole bunch of tomfoolery.
Ba-dum-tish!
Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
You're a listener. Makes a bad pun.
Yeah.
And it gets funny and laughs. Your dad makes an awesome Doctor Who related pun as well. And it's new miserable.
February.
And everyone agreed, including you, that the group picture that I posted, you and your coat looked awesome.
I love that picture. Like, first of all, it's a great picture because all of us are legitimately smiling.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm making the doofiest face, and it's hysterical. Not to laugh at my own face, but it's really good. Mark Baker Wright said he also enjoyed this episode. So much fun. Thanks also for the compliments on my cosplay. I appreciate it.
It well deserved.
Social media love and support for that episode came through from Christopher Willette, Luke Giaconetti, Derek William Crabb, Mark Adams, Bradley Null, Manuel Carmona from Truthful Comics, Patrick Delmore, Robert Ward, Billy Hogan, Robert Ludwig, Clinton of Coffee and Comics, the Collected Editions podcast, Kirk Spencer, Pat Sampson from the Long Box Crusade, Gene Hendricks, Old School Ross, Chris from Bat Books for Beginners, the Comics in the Golden Age podcast, and Laurel, a.k.a. Mountain Flower One.
From the Huntress podcast.
Which we will be playing a promo for right now.
To confront the ultimate killers, I must construct the ultimate alias.
Hey, who is that lady? I think she could fly.
To combat the murderers who destroy my family, crush my own life on their way to consuming everything, I must become a greater, more fearsome destroyer.
Ah! Ah, no, no! Hey, man, somebody killed this lady.
To track down the animals who prey on the innocent, I must stalk them first. I am no longer their quarry. I am the Huntress.
New Huntress podcast coming to you in 2019. Visit TheHuntress89.blogspot.com for new episodes. Go to the Facebook page at Huntress Podcast. Go to Twitter, The Huntress Podcast. And you can always find episodes of The Huntress Podcast at RightOnNetwork.com. And go to Apple iTunes, where this podcast is a joint venture with the Helena Bertinelli Podcast and the Cassandra Cain Batgirl Podcast. So go to Apple Podcasts, the Batgirl / Huntress Podcast.
And we're back. And we're just going to talk for a little bit about Spider-Man, just because we realized over the last few months, we've had a lot of little conversations about various bits of Spider-Man related pop culture. And I'm going to start with the sad news. I'm still in mourning for the end of March, end of the Spider-Man Unlimited iOS game.
It was so good.
Very well. It was a free runner, but it was very well balanced. The events, the ongoing story aspects that you could play. It just, all the various characters and skins. You eventually ended up with the entire
extended Spider-Verse.
It was amazing. And when the game started 4+ years ago or whatever it was in the midst of Spider-Verse. That was the story. The story was Morlun and the Inheritors and that crowd. And I know the comics have moved away from that. So I guess I understand why bringing the game to an end made some sense, so they could do some different games and events and a little more relate to what they're doing, you know, currently.
Yeah, free up the developmental team. Yeah. You know, if it was not tied in as much, that, you know, mm-hmm. the Marvel licensing was getting ready to expire.
However it worked.
It's like, I get it, but man,
really good game.
I am going to miss it, because as far as free runners go, I think it was probably the best. Most of them are just Temple Run reskins.
Right.
But this was one that actually felt like, even if it may have used some of that code as sort of a base start, it really felt like its own individual thing. It had combinations of wall crawling and web slinging and running, dodging, jumping, fighting enemies. There was some strategy involved, more so than most of the free running games. It had that collectible card feeling that you could get all the different skins. You could level up the different powers. Mm-hmm. As you said, there was storyline progressions that you had to use all one series of characters to go through a certain event. Or you would get bonuses if you had different characters from the same universe in your team at the same time. It was such a well-balanced game.
And there was a lot going on in it.
I really loved it. You played it more than I did. Yep. It was an excellent time killer.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I logged into it every couple of days. You were in it every day.
Just about every day. It's really fun.
And apparently it was just you and me.
I confess, I made almost no in-app purchases. So it's probably all my fault.
It was a complete failure for both of us. But
loved that game.
And it's so unfortunate with the timing, because of course, right as they're getting ready to wrap up this app, Into the Spider-Verse comes out of nowhere, wins all of the awards, blows everybody's mind.
And it's got all the same characters. It's all the same characters.
I have Spider-Noir in my phone. I have two Peter Parkers.
You had multiple Venoms. The movie wasn't great. Sorry, Luke.
I would just like to come out here and say that I watched Venom last week and it is excellent. So there you go.
There you go, Luke. You now have a favorite Middleton, I'm sure. So much potential in that game. And I know there are some other Spider-Man fighty games and Marvel Comics fighty games, but it was something about the running slash role play slash leveling
and the enemy
really
fighting and
really worked in that
it was,
one.
It was such a well thought out use of a property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sometimes you and I, we get very sort of structural, really nitty gritty about our stuff of like, this is an excellent use of the metaphorical such and such of, you know, using this element repeated within this to at a structural level be able to tell a story with an app type. It was lightning in a bottle, and I legitimately cried on March 31st when they turned off the game, but I still have it.
I know.
I still have it. It's just sitting there.
You can still play the story
but it doesn't tie into anything.
You can't.
There's no events. It doesn't go to anything. There's no leaderboard. It's just me all on my lonesome.
I've kept it too for a little while. I think I'm going to keep it. I managed to run down all of my ISO and I managed to run down almost all of my vials.
Yeah, all the in-game currency has been used.
I do still have some power-ups, so I just might use those and see what kind of score I can get. And when everything's down to zero, then I'll delete it. I'm sad. I'm pathetic. I'm woeful. I have a problem.
I literally haven't had room for new apps in my phone for about 2.5 months. And I
still haven't deleted
I don't want to delete it. I'm not gonna. I'm like, I'll delete Duolingo for the Duolingo owl. Will you?
Will you?
Will you?
Nine.
Nine bitcha.
But speaking of Spidey games, there's another one on the PS4 that seems to be everybody's favorite new game.
See, now that I have access to a PS4,
mm-hmm.
I need to grab the Spider-Man game.
That's what roommates are for.
That is indeed what roommates are for. I hear it's really good. I know Stella loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves the Spidey-Man. So mm-hmm. I'm sure it's mm-hmm. excellent. But just haven't gotten around to playing it. You know, maybe I could hit up the local library. Since the game's been out for 3-4 months at this point.
Of course, you don't have to hit the local library. You could hit any library in the entire state.
I have the power. I have the power.
Use it for good, Em. Just use it for good.
With great power comes great responsibility. To not steal things from children who want to play video games.
By children, you mean Stella and our other contemporaries.
Maybe so.
But yes, I have heard epic things about the Spider-Man PS4 game.
So I think that will be my next thing to sort of help soothe some of this pain. But you still have Spider-Man Homecoming and Into the Spider-Verse.
That is true. I have not watched either of those.
Help put a Band-Aid on that hole in our hearts.
I've fallen a little bit behind on my Marvel movies, but I did recently watch Infinity War. And I've got to say, I kind of dig that Petey. I dig young, brash, but
actual teenager, actual super awkward teenager Peter Parker.
Putting on confidence when he really doesn't have any. Trying to make nice with Tony. There's a lot there. I really enjoyed it.
It's a very good flick. And Tom Holland is really doing well. Peter Parker. And that's a problem that some people have had with the previous. It's sort of like the Batman casting problem, is you can usually cast someone who is a really good Batman or a really good Bruce Wayne. Very rarely you get both. I personally think that Ben Affleck managed to do both excellently, but that's my own opinion. I think that Tom Holland really nails both the essence of what it means to be Peter Parker, awkward nerd, science boy, and also Spider-Man, quippy, sarcastic, fast-talking superhero. And the way that you can definitely see that Spider-Man is the extroverted parts of Peter. Like, you can definitely see the character coming through in both. Like, yes, if not riddled with his crippling anxiety and social ostracization, this is what Peter would be like all the time.
Exactly. So I just wanted to ask, are you sort of getting over the sadness of talking about the iOS game? Because I was going to mention the Stan Lee cameos in Infinity War and Teen Titans Go to the Movies, even.
Oh, and if you didn't know, there's one in Spider-Verse, and it is crushing. Let me just say, spoilers for Into the Spider-Verse. It's right after Peter Parker dies. So Spider-Man dies, and 2 minutes later, Stan cameo. It's brutal. But man, is it good.
You know, I'm thinking about Spider-Man. And obviously, Stan and his other co-creators in the early days of Marvel made so many correct choices along the way. I think one retrospective mistake was that they put those first couple of years sort of in real time.
Mm.
And so out of however many issues there have been of Spider-Man and all the various iterations. It must be 1,500. I don't know.
Yeah.
2,000. He was in high school for about, I don't know, 45. I mean, I'm way off on both of those numbers, but you know the point.
Yeah.
It's a teeny tiny fraction. You know, in retrospect, if they could have kept him in high school longer, I think that would have been a really cool thing. I really like high school, young, awkward Peter Parker. I don't mind married. I don't mind the other things, but other places where that character's going has gone, but maybe if we just had a little more high school Pete. And I like that that's sort of the version that we have now in the movies.
Yeah, and I will say Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is great for you because mm-hmm. it's got teenage, mm-hmm. awkward, nerdy kid Spider-Man. It's got college age, has right, his life right. together Spider-Man, and it has 42-year-old, fallen on hard times, divorced, sad, fat Spider-Man. So, whichever Spider-Man you want, he is in that movie.
Does it have sold his soul to the devil?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's true. That never happened. Nope.
That never happened.
That never happened. Sorry. So, there are plenty of other podcasts where you can get much more detailed Spidey talk. We just wanted to do a little bit of sort of what's been going on for us in terms of the Spidey world. I will shout out again just a recent comic series. I've liked Silk.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked recent Spider-Woman. Over on the Comics Reading Journal, I've been talking a lot about those because I've found some of those sort of extended Spider family books like that. Especially of the Spider ladies. Notice that in particular. I haven't read any Spider Girl or much, but I hear that that's a good story as well. Anytime I can find any sort of any of those Spider-related characters, I've had a lot of good luck with those books as well. So sort of shout out to the broader Spidey-verse, if you will.
You know, to bring this all back to Gerard Way, you know what I really need to read? The Penny Parker. The Spider bot anime, like cyberpunk future mm-hmm. Spider Girl stories. I need to grab that. Apparently the characters from Neon Genesis Evangelion are her classmates in one of the panels.
Don't judge me. I kind of like Mary Jane Loves Spidey.
No, that's the thing. All Spideys are canon.
Yes, thank you.
All Spideys are valid. The only Spidey that didn't happen was the one who sold his soul to the devil.
What? Who?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because, at the end of the day, Spider-Man is an enduring character with a long-running legacy who means a lot of things to a lot of people because anyone can be under that mask.
And if you have anything to share with us about Spidey or various other things about this episode, and we really mean this, any of our prior episodes, I'm just saying you might want to go through your drafts folder. See if they're...
Hey.
We love you, Rob. Just saying.
If you haven't checked your email, you should probably check your email. Is there anything in your drafts folder?
Just throwing that out just to you. Anyway, we would love to hear from you. Emails can be sent to relativelygeeky@gmail.com or comments can be left at our blog, relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. But just remember, when we're talking about anything related to video games, TV, cons, Spider-Man,
basically anything we've said for the last 5 years,
always remember, we're not experts.
We're just family.
I hadn't used the Netflix for a while when I decided to watch Infinity War, so I wasn't sure if I was going to remember all the details about how to get it to work. But really, it was a snap.
Duolingo is going to beat down my door. I have 4 hours and 44 minutes to complete my German for the day. Yeah. Duo Owl is going to find me. So I joined her in some binge watch. Why is that so hard to say?
Because you're thinking sessions.
Yeah.
You're getting binge washing.
Some binge watching sessions. Patrick D'Amore, Robert Ward.
Patrick Delmore. I misspelled it.
I was like, Patrick. His name is Patrick Delmore.
About Constantine being in the DC.
Okay,
about the TV show. Okay. It's about the TV show.
I don't understand.
Me to do this one?
I don't understand Twitter. Yes,
you want me to
please.
Do this one?
Please explain this. Also, I showed that picture to one of my students. I was like, oh, yeah, because I just got back and here's a picture of all of us together. And she went, oh, is that you and your family? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, these are my internet cousins.
And Weird Uncle Shag.
And also Weird Uncle Shag.